Most gracious God, we come today to give ourselves to you, praying that you would take these offerings of time, this money laid before you, our resources, our talents, that you would take all of these things, and in your great power, Lord, may they be transformed so that all people would know you, so that all would come to understand and know the love of Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, also that you might lead us in the ways that we serve you in the world, that you would guide us in the ways that we can feed the hungry and love those who need love. We put all this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So, my name is Pastor Adrian Curtis. I'm the associate pastor here at Carmel United Methodist Church. And today, I am very excited. We are starting a brand new series called Disciple Shift. So, over the next 3 more weeks, so 4 weeks total, we'll be looking at what are the ways that God calls us into deeper relationship, and how do we follow where God leads us. And we're looking specifically with our discipleship pathway, which, as we dive deeper, we are drawn to connect with God and with each other, to grow. We grow in our faith, in our fruits of the Spirit, and to serve. Any guesses what today is? Serve. So today we get to look at the ways that God is calling us to serve, to reach out and help others. So I'm going to start with an opportunity. I need a volunteer. I do. One volunteer. Okay. Come on up here, if you don't mind. Now, you must trust me a little bit, because you have no idea what you just volunteered for, right? Go ahead and stand up here and remind me your name. Bree. Okay, so Bree, I have met you. You've seen me around. Do you trust me? Yeah, okay. Let me ask you another question. Let's say I were to stand right here. Go ahead, walk right here. Turn around for a second. Now, let's say you were to fall backwards. Do you believe I could catch you? Is it possible? Very good, honest answer. I appreciate that. Is there anyone here who you would trust to catch you if you had to fall backwards? No. Very good. Thank you. So you can go ahead and have a seat. I feel like we should just give her a hand for that. I know. It's one thing to believe something is possible, to say you trust somebody. It's another thing entirely to actually do it, to fall backwards and say, okay, I guess they're going to catch me, right? Saying something and doing something are two different things. And as we hear in James today, James reminds us that faith is more than just belief. Faith is not just believing God is there. Faith is falling into God's arms. Or I could put it a little differently. So we've got some Colts fans here today, right? Any Colts fans? Okay, how many of you believe the Colts could make it to the Super Bowl this year? Anyone? No. Okay, what teams do you think could make it to the Super Bowl? Anybody like the Steelers? Okay, awesome. Any other Steelers fans? Any other fans? Who else? Who do you think is going to make it to the Super Bowl this year? The Bears? The Bears. The Bears. All right. Any other Bears fans? No. We're very reserved today. Okay, well, those of you who do believe your team is going to make it to the Super Bowl, let me ask you, have you bought your Super Bowl ticket yet? Just $4,000. Right? If you think they're going to make it, go ahead, buy the ticket. No? Faith is a little different. You may believe your team is going to make it all the way, but faith is paying the $4,000 for the Super Bowl ticket before you even know for sure if they're going to be there. That's real faith. James chapter 2. I want to read that for you from the Message translation, which is a more modern translation. And if you have your Bibles with you or your phones or a phone app, you're welcome to look it up. I, on purpose, only put a little bit on the screen. And it's always good to read the whole entire passage. But as it says in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 20, it says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" I love that Message translation. Outrageous nonsense. You can't say you love God, that you believe in God, and walk past your friend, your person who you know who's in need. It's outrageous nonsense. And yet, knowing that, I bet all of us have a time, even thinking now, I know I have times where I regretted. I thought, man, I really should have helped them. I really should have done something. And I didn't. You all probably have felt that way from time to time too. What are those barriers that keep us from helping someone in need? Well, I think sometimes we just don't know what to do. Or we're afraid. We're afraid that maybe what we have to offer is not enough. This past week, we celebrated, not really celebrated, but remembered the 17th anniversary of September 11th, the terrorist attacks that happened in New York. On that day, 17 years ago, there were two planes that flew into the Twin Towers in New York City. That's a day for me and my husband because we were living in New Jersey at the time. And so I was finishing my master's in international relations at Seton Hall. We were starting out married together and lived in the cheapest apartment we could find on the 15th floor of this gigantic apartment complex. And even though we were close to South Orange, because we were the top floor, the one bright side is that we could see all the way to New York City. We could see the Hudson right beyond Newark, and we could see that skyline. And we were really proud of the fact that we could definitely see those two World Trade Center buildings, among the tallest buildings in the entire world, that we could see right there on our horizon. And so on September 11th, I woke up that morning. I was 3 months pregnant, and I had some bad morning sickness for most of that. And so I went to get something to eat just to settle my stomach, and I'm groggily moving around the apartment, 8:45, when I have a knock at my door. It's my neighbors who say to me, "Turn on the news. You need to see what's going on." I turn on the news and suddenly realize that that first Trade Tower building had been hit. I run to my window and I can see, sure enough, that there's smoke billowing up from the skyline. And I watch riveted, window, news, until at 9 o'clock, that second World Trade Center tower was hit as well. I know the whole world was rocked when that happened, but for those of us who were living on the East Coast, I have to admit my very first thought was fear. We didn't know what was going on, and here was this attack that happened right here in my backyard. And so I was scared. What do we do? What's happening? Are there more attacks coming? And so for a long time after that happened, in that area, people didn't want to leave their houses. And nobody wanted to ride the subway. There was a huge response. And in fact, you weren't even allowed to go down to the Trade Center area for a good long time because only authorized trained personnel could be there. It was unsafe. So I know that there were firefighters, police officers, first responders who came out to New York from all over the country. And we had some from Carmel, I'm sure, who went out to help. They dropped everything to serve and respond and try to find some of those survivors. There were some lives saved because of what they did. But a lot of us felt helpless, like there was nothing we could do. That very first day, everything in New York shut down. And then Wednesday came, and everything was still closed, right? You didn't want to leave. We were still figuring things out. But when Thursday rolled around, it became apparent that we had to figure out a way to move forward, that we had to find a way to build back from what had happened. I think that the institution that led the way on that in an unexpected place was Broadway. Broadway closed on Wednesday, but on Thursday, they made the decision that the show must go on. And in fact, there is a production called Urinetown, the most unfortunate Broadway show name ever. But Urinetown was supposed to finally make the big time. They were supposed to premiere on September the 13th. And they delayed their premiere on Broadway, but decided to have that show anyway. And so they invited everybody who was stuck in New York. They ended up with a theater full of flight attendants who couldn't go anywhere, who were stuck there and probably traumatized by everything that had happened. And they put on a show. And then after it was over, the cake they were going to use for their premiere, they cut it up and shared it with the audience. And everybody who was there shared in that together. And for weeks, for all of the Broadway shows, after the show was over, the whole cast would come out and they would sing God Bless America, which is actually an Irving Berlin song, who is a Broadway great. They would come out. It was inspiring. And so here we were afraid, but they led the way. They said, you know what? We are not going to let this hold us back. We're going to continue. We're going to keep going. An unexpected place. For those of us who thought there was nothing we could do, that was the thing we could do. They not only had faith that life should continue, but they continued. They opened the show, they plotted on, and they made it possible for many of us to be inspired to do the same. We look at the problems of the world, and I think sometimes we wonder, what can I do? But God calls us through our gifts. And there are so many different ways that we can serve and make a difference. Some of us, that's maybe running into a burning building. We have some firefighters, some incredible first responders. For others of us, it might be using our music, our song, our talent to inspire. For others still, it might be sharing the little bit of extra we have. That bit of food we have a little too much in our kitchen, sharing that with people who need it. Or helping someone find a job who needs a job. There are so many ways we can respond to the need of those around us. And for James chapter 2 reminds us that real faith is faith in action. So as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we show our faith by the ways that we love one another, by how we act and serve others. We have a number of people here at Carmel United Methodist Church who are doing just that. I actually have had so much fun already just coming on board here at Carmel because we have so many great things going on, so many opportunities to serve. And so I'm excited. Every week we're going to have a different testimony from someone. And today we get to hear from our own Natalie Bellotti about her testimony for ways that she has served and been drawn into service here at Carmel United Methodist Church.
Bible school is really good for my family because I was the assistant director for a few years and it became a whole family project for us. Pastor AJ has a lot of creativity and she would come up with these crazy ideas and she would send a picture of her idea to my husband and he would try to figure out how he could build this at home and how we could make it happen and make it real for the kids. Over the years, my kids became involved in these projects, and now I am so excited. The whole family volunteers for Vacation Bible School each week. We plan around it to make sure that we're available. The kids also help at the food pantry. We do a lot of the back, behind-the-scenes things. My kids are pretty strong, so we do a lot of the manual labor. My husband helps unload the trucks in the morning with some other gentlemen and ladies who have the ability. And then a lot of the kids help move the larger items down into the basement and then back up. You should think about it and say yes and try it. Just recently, Pastor Matt and Pastor AJ have asked me to get involved in the FAZE project. And I don't know if I will be good at it. I don't know how much of a time commitment it will be, but I said yes. I'm excited to give it a shot. Honestly, I am sometimes intimidated when I'm asked to do certain things, but I found you're not naturally good at anything until you've given it a shot. So I'm trying to take every opportunity I'm given. I would just say, don't let opportunities pass you by. Even if you aren't really confident about what you're volunteering for or what you're showing up to do and how you're going to feel when you're doing these service projects, just say yes and try it. You're never locked in. People aren't going to expect too much out of you, but the opportunity that it gives you to meet other people and to experience new things is life-changing.
Thank you. So Natalie mentions a few opportunities that we have here at Carmel United Methodist Church, and we have so many more in addition to that that are potential areas where you could get involved. So I think the first question for all of you is, where is God calling you to get involved, to serve, to help others? If you have any questions about that or you're not sure where to jump in, I have, actually, my email is right there for all of you. You have my email now at your disposal. So, you know what? Write me an email. You can call the church and talk to me directly, and I will happily play matchmaker and figure out what you have to offer and pair you up with some sort of opportunity for you or your family or your small group. You can also follow us on Facebook for our Carmel UMC church page, and we often post opportunities there. So when things come up that we just need something because it just came up, we'll post it on that page, and it's a good way to stay connected and to find out what we have going on. And so all of these, I think, are a good beginning, a good way to be sure that we're being diligent and planning to get involved, looking for opportunities to serve. But James doesn't tell us to plan a few activities here or there. He talks about faith in action. And what that means is we have to be prepared to serve, to reach out at any given moment, at any given time. We have to, like we said with the children, be ready to say, how may I serve you? Wherever we are. And I think that's a little bit harder. I know for me, my life is so crazy that it can be hard to change trajectory or to be flexible enough to take a step back and to serve when the opportunity presents itself. And in fact, this past week, I've been just praying like crazy for the people of the victims of Hurricane Florence that are happening over in North Carolina, South Carolina, a little bit of Virginia. Hurricane Florence, if you haven't seen the news, is they're saying one of the worst hurricanes that North Carolina and South Carolina has potentially ever seen. They had huge amounts of flooding, so much damage. At least 5 people died so far. And it's still going on. I guess it's been downgraded to a tropical storm, and it's moving its way through the country until it comes back up, up north on the east coast. And we know that there's going to be huge need when the dust settles, that there are going to be so many families who need to rebuild, so much damaged churches that will be flooded and need help. And so we've already started to make plans here. We're going to be looking at ways that we can maybe collect flood buckets, work with UMCOR, see what the needs are, and listen for that. But it occurred to me yesterday, actually, I was thinking, you know, I might need to bring a team out to North Carolina or South Carolina. Maybe we need to go out there and actually help with something and plan for that later this year. And my very first thought was, oh, but man, I am so busy. Can I clear out a week for that? That was unfortunately my first thought. It's hard sometimes to stop and respond where God calls us. And yet what I find time and time again is when we make time to serve, God somehow, in God's great abundance, gives us enough time for everything else as well. Somehow it all comes together. And so here we have that reminder again, James 2, that faith without works is dead. That belief isn't enough, that we're called to serve, to get out and use our hands and feet to make a difference. And I love how James also goes on in verse 19 to give us the reminder. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Faith is more than just knowing God is there. We're all here because we're searching, right? Probably. That's why you're here in worship, is you're searching. And so we believe there's a God, maybe. Amen. Yes. There's a God, right? We believe there's a God. Amen. We believe God has power. We've seen it. We know it. We can read the Bible, right? Amen? Are we willing to fall into God's arms? Are we willing to step out doing things, uncomfortable, unexpected things for God's sake? Are we willing to serve where God calls us to serve? Faith is more than just belief. Faith is action. That's how we show that we are Christians. And we can see that especially in Jesus Christ. We have a God who didn't just love us in words. God loved us in action. So much that God sent Jesus into this world. And Jesus walked among us. He loved us. And he fed the hungry. At some of the most inopportune times, people were begging him for things. And he stopped. And he loved them and he helped them. He healed the sick, those who were in need. He didn't just share the word of God and the good news. He didn't just talk about God and the kingdom of God. He showed us by loving us and by doing the things that we are called to do. And in fact, Jesus even went further than all of that. He was arrested. He was hung on the cross. He gave his very life for our sake. What are we willing to sacrifice for God's sake? What is the sign of our faith, our love for God? Because our love is also shown in action, in the ways we respond and we serve and we love others. Nike recently had a slogan. And I want to close with that today. This is a little controversial, but maybe you've caught this. Nike has a new slogan. I skipped it earlier, but if you could go back to it. Believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. And they have, what makes it controversial is Colin Kaepernick is the face of that. And Colin Kaepernick is known. He's a football player who refuses to stand during the national anthem. He doesn't sit either. He takes a knee. And I think his story behind that is that he says that he's in prayer for our country because he wants to make sure people know that we are still not equal, that there is still racism, there is still discrimination. I'm not speaking in favor of him. You have my email now. Don't send me emails. But I wanted to point out that I think it's interesting that even a shoe company gets that belief and sacrifice go hand in hand. If I were going to change this, I would change this to say, believe in God, even if it means sacrificing everything. Because sometimes that is what it means, to believe in God, to have faith in God, believe in God, even if it means sacrificing everything. Are we ready for that? I think that's the question before us. And so as we enter into our time of prayer, I want to invite you to reflect on what do you have to offer? What are your gifts? And also, where is God potentially calling you to serve? I want to draw your attention. In your bulletin, there should be some discussion questions, and there's room for you to write it down. I want you to do that because here's the thing. When we set a goal, when we decide we want to do something, we're more likely to do it if we write it down. You're also more likely to do it if you tell the person next to you. So I want you to think for a moment. If you're an introverted person, I will just let you write it down. If you're not an introverted person and you feel comfortable, I want you to turn to the person next to you and share one thing that you want to explore doing to serve or to help more in the week ahead. Make sense? Yes? All right, so if you would reflect on that and turn to your neighbor now or write it in your bulletin. As we close in prayer together, and I hope you'll continue sharing these and reflecting on these as we go out today, but as we close in prayer, I want you to keep those opportunities in mind. And I'll offer up a prayer for all of us, but also for the world as we go out to look for ways that we can serve and help one another. So let us pray. Most amazing God, we thank you for the ways that you loved us, that you showed that love through action by serving us, coming alongside us. I pray, God, that you might help us to believe so that we are also prepared to sacrifice and love and serve you. I pray, God, for you to enter in and to just demolish all of those obstacles that might stand in the way of us doing what you would call us to do. Whether that's fear, whether that's insecurity, wondering what we have to offer, whether it's just not knowing what to do or where to go, whatever those obstacles are, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just move and that you would direct us and that we might truly be your hands and feet, empowered by you to serve the world, to love the world, and that all might know you and your great love and strength and power through Jesus Christ. I also, God, just want to offer up to you all of these different things that we've reflected on today and pray that we might actually do it, that we might go into the world in your great strength and power to do what we have set out to do, what we have talked about today. So I put all of this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen.